and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste.
Let's go.
Let's go. You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And the payoff.
There goes the deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 61. He ties Roger Maris for the American League single season record with 61 home runs. It's a two-run Judgian blast. Here comes the judge. A two-run blast, and the Yankees take a 5-3 lead on number 61 for Judge.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
A Thursday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe and Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock today.
Did you forget his name for a second?
No, I'm reading stuff right now. From Soren Petro, just a little bit ago, says, nothing official yet, but the word I'm hearing is that the NFL is in the final stages of approving the game to be played in Tampa. Should have an official word soon. Rick Stroud then tweeting out saying the Tampa Sports Authority informed the NFL Thursday they have all the resources in terms of emergency services, law enforcement, etc. to host Sunday night's game between the Bucs and the Chiefs. It's up to the league now to make the final decision. And Adam Schefter saying that Tampa's mayor is lobbying to keep Sunday night's game in Tampa.
It's a nice picture of the mayor of Tampa holding a Buccaneers flag. Which she's, most of the time I would say is offensive, and today I might let him have it.
She says, on another note, we're doing our best to keep the Buccaneers game here Sunday. I have assured the NFL that the only disturbance here Sunday is when the Bucs kick ass. Oh.
It's a real tweet from the mayor.
That is a real tweet from the mayor.
I'd say it's fighting words, but I would just like her to keep their city above water right now.
Challenge accepted. Not by me, because I will not have any impact whatsoever, regardless of what people may think with jinxing or saying the game is not going to be tough or difficult or anything in between.
I used all my jinx power against the Colts last week, so I am useless for the rest of the season. I cannot jinx the Chiefs because of how confident I was against Indy. You can blame me for that one, but nothing since.
Yeah, no, I can't jinx the Chiefs. You can.
I have that power.
You can jinx the Chiefs. I cannot.
Once a year.
I have no control whatsoever in what the Chiefs do. Win or lose, or tie. You do. You absolutely jinx them all the time, and it's ridiculous, and I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I really need to, that starts with me. I got to get back in the film room. I got to look at what went wrong against the Colts. I got to figure out how to not jinx the Chiefs against Tampa.
It's about damn time. About damn time. 913-912-4810 is the text line to join us. 913-912-4810. Text line to be a part of the show, part of the conversation today. We will talk with Kent Swanson, KC Sports Network, KC Laboratory Podcast. We will talk with him at 11 o'clock, get his thoughts on the Chiefs-Colts embarrassment, but look ahead to the Bucs and Chiefs. And if he has a feel for the game, I still have not developed a feel for this game on Sunday. I would be watching with maybe as much intrigue and unknown as I have in a long time for a Chiefs game. And that is because of just not really knowing what the Bucs are, not knowing what the Chiefs will look like, not knowing how injured Orlando Brown Jr. and Trey Smith might be in their performances on Sunday against the Colts, to where it's like, oh, they'll clearly bounce back and play better than that. Unless, of course, they are hampered by an injury, then it might not necessarily be ability rather than inability to play through to the highest level that we know they can at times. So that'll certainly be something to watch and pay attention to. And there was talk about the way Trey Smith was walking in the locker room yesterday. Todd Lebo was and Seren were talking about that. He was walking like he was Willie Rofe. Only difference is he does not typically walk like Willie Rofe. Jesse Newell talking about in the previous hour that he was not making excuses or anything as for his play, And wasn't even really talking about the injury unless he was asked specifically, like, are you getting extra treatment? Yes, getting extra treatment, all of that stuff. So, yeah, he's battling something right now. Hopefully it's not serious enough to really impact the game. I think it certainly did on Sunday against the Colts, but there were a lot of other things that could have taken place that could have been done for the Chiefs to walk out of Indy with a win. They did not do that. Therefore, they have to respond this week against the Bucs. We'll talk with Kent Swanson, see if he has a feel for the game, and if there are any bigger issues that he's seeing from this Chiefs team that he is concerned about, or is this a, you know what, you move on, it's any given Sunday, it happens, bad games happen, you're not going to bring your A game 17 games out of the year, it's not going to happen. There are going to be some games where guys just lose concentration, there'll be some games where guys just don't have their head in it, and you simply chalk it up and move on, and you got to respond that next week. We'll see if that's the case or if there are any bigger issues. Kent Swanson at 11 o'clock. We'll hear from the Chiefs today. Steve Spagnuolo, Eric Bieniemy, Dave Tobe. We will hear from the coordinators and then TBD, any other players that may be at the podium today, and hear what they have to say about that Colts loss and then what they're expecting from the Bucs. Certainly EB weighing in on Patrick Mahomes and his interaction before or right as they were going in for halftime. I expect his commentary to be the same as we've heard from everybody else's in that, look, competitive people, and it wasn't what it looked like on TV, and Patrick's Patrick, and he's going to want to score every time he's got the ball. And we got to make a decision on what's best for the team at that time. And we know that he wants to go down and score every single time because he's a competitor and we want to score too. But at that point, it was the best decision just to go into half. And we talked about it and we got over it. We moved on. Not a big deal. I love Patrick. That's what I expect we'll hear from Eric Bieniemy. I don't expect, you know what, bleep that mother bleeper. I'm sick and tired of his bleep. All right. That's what I told him. That's what I told him. Boy, that would be crazy. That would be crazy. Oh, man. So we'll hear from Eric Bieniemy. We'll hear from Steve Spagnuolo, and we will hear from Dave Tobe.
Who should have an equally fun press conference?
Probably less enjoyable than Eric Bieniemy and Steve Spagnuolo, I would guess.
Well, do you want to play who's going to have the most unpleasant press conference? Because it's not Spags.
It's certainly not
Spags. We know it's not Spags.
I think it's Tobe. Eric Bieniemy's like, hey, you and Patrick had a conversation before halftime. Yeah, I know. And Patrick's weighed in on it. Andy's weighed in on it. Cool. The offense did struggle at times. Okay, yeah, offense struggled at times.
Here's Dave Tobe,
it was embarrassing the way the special teams played.
Here's my prediction for Eric Bieniemy. I'd like to see, go ahead and open up your DraftKings app right now.
Yeah, done.
Go find the over-under. Go ahead and take the over 1.5 of Eric Bieniemy. I think we will get multiple
that.
Eric Bieniemy sort of laugh it off, then answer questions. So, you know, Coach, you see Eric, you have a nice little conversation with 15 before halftime. Well, you know, Herbie.
Well, I'll say this,
and then that's gonna be what it is. So I think I'll take the over on 1.5. Eric Bieniemy.
He is a hell of a player. He is a hell of a player. 913-912-4810 text says, damn it, Josh, you just made my 7-year-old cry. So I'm not even sure why.
Yeah, that's what I was just trying to think is what
Doesn't
did
matter.
I do to make a 7-year-old cry? It's happened before. I mean,
it came
regularly.
In just 3 minutes ago, something you may have said. I don't know.
Was it when
done.
I said I hate 7-year-olds? Because that would have done it.
Well,
it
no.
must have been something else.
No, that wouldn't else. Make a 7-year-old
no,
cry.
No, no,
I hate
no, no,
you,
no.
kid.
No.
Just make him punch you and win that
been.
Fight.
Couldn't have been that.
Yeah. We'll hear from the Chiefs Sports or Leisure today as well. We'll play some Sports or Leisure, $25. Johnny's Tavern will be giving away for a little Sports or Leisure today in the 1 o'clock hour. And a lot of sound to play, a lot of things to hear, and Thursday Night Football going on tonight as well. Tech says, I'll take he's a competitive prick for $20.
Ooh, do we get the P word today?
I don't think so. I don't think, not after that.
I don't
that.
Think so either.
I don't think you can drop he's a prick.
I think we're going to get every syllable of he's a competitor.
Yeah.
Like, we're really going to get every syllable in competitor.
I don't think it'll be much of the press conference,
competitor.
To be honest with you. I think it'll be one question. One or two questions. I think it'll be a question and then a follow-up. Have you guys talked?
Brad, I'm going to have two.
Is there anything? Well, it's in person, though, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be, but what happened? Have you guys talked and everything? Okay, cool. All right, offense. Yeah. What the hell, Eric?
Yeah, hey. Yeah, he might rather talk about that than to talk about, like, hey, your offensive line just got kind of manhandled for a game. Like, not against the best defensive line you've even faced this year, probably. What's going on?
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll have answers to that. He'll have answers for what happened with him and Mahomes, and I think, honestly, I think he's going to tell us most of the truth. Not all the truth, but I bet we're going to hear most of the truth from Eric Bieniemy on that. I don't know if he knows what the truth is on the offensive line.
Tex says, was the special teams really that bad, or was it just two people, Sky and a dude who's now on the street? Well, I think the guy who's now a free agent is a part of it, and I think Sky is a part of it, but Pacheco struggled, and decisions that he made struggled. 2 yards deep in the end zone, brings it out and fumbles, slips and falls at the 10-yard line. From the 1 yard line at the end of the game when there were 24 seconds, you've got to know, just go straight ahead, get as much yards as you can. But for him to stop and then retreat and then run right and waste time, that's a mistake. And Chris LeMons caught the ball at the 11-yard line that had a huge bounce that was going to keep rolling.
That second bounce can be funky. You know, you ever bounce a bouncy ball down the hallway, that second bounce, it'll take off sometimes. In real time, that's what I was thinking about, the bouncy ball effect.
Yeah,
well, but it's a weird thing for your special teams ace to not try to get 10 more yards of field position there.
Yes, absolutely. And he's fast enough to then beat the ball to the end zone and wait for it, you know, at the 1 yard line. And so, yeah, I think there were a number of different things that were head scratchers in the game, special teams wise. The fake field goal as well, like what went on with that. I think Dave Tobe, you know, can speak to that, of if that was a call, if that was a fire call. Because even this morning with Gary Dieter saying, you know, I'm not sure if that was a call, or did Tommy sort of bobble it just for a second and yell fire, because maybe you don't trust that. Maybe with Harrison Butker, you bobble it, you put it down, and you feel good. But with Matt Amendola, you bobble it a little bit, fire, and then Gray gets out, and that's the one guy you have running.
Andy Reid said, I probably shouldn't have called that. So, and maybe Tobe will tell us today, maybe Reid felt like that would have been throwing Townsend under the bus. I don't think it would be. I think if he bobbled it, honestly, I think it might be a nice way out for Tommy Townsend. Also, Noah Gray was looking for the ball pretty early. I don't know. I think that text is a good question, though, because very often we say bad coaching job, and it's really two guys bleeped up.
Yeah.
There's something to that. But what I want to hear from Tobe more than anything today is why those two guys were in the positions they were in.
Yeah.
Not that Sky Moore needs to be justified in that spot, because I think it makes sense. You think he's your best returner. You don't think he's going to bobble a ball looking into the sun in Indianapolis every single week. That's not an assumption to make. I don't think he needs to go up and like defend his choices, but I want to hear why he believed Sky Moore was the right guy. Does he still? Why he believed Matt Amendola was the right guy? Why he wasn't? Those are the type of things that I want to hear from Dave Tobe, is just to put that game into more context. He's not the one that dropped the punt. I don't think that he told Sky Moore to just muff it for fun. But I want to know. It would be very strange. But I want to know how he feels about all of that, and particularly, we've used this phrase a lot, but all of the growing pains on even a young special teams, because it really is compared to his previous groups. And that's on him to make it work.
Well, and there's a look. Amendola made the kicks against the Chargers. They won the game.
Yep.
And he missed the kicks against the Colts. They lost the game. It doesn't help that somebody you had in for the workout with Amendola that you did not choose was on the other side for the Colts and made two pretty big kicks that were tougher than the ones that Amendola, the extra point and the easy field goal that he missed. That guy you chose not to sign. The Colts signed him, and then you end up losing that game by 3 because that guy makes a couple of field goals. But, you know, regardless, now they got somebody else in, and it'll be questions about, okay, what about Harrison Butker?
Yep.
Can Justin Reid kick off and Butker just take his one-step field goals? Because I trust Harrison Butker taking one-step kicking field goals than I do the Matthew Wright or the Matt Amendola or anybody else of the world that is unemployed right now. I'll take Butker with one step. He nailed a 50-plus yarder taking one step. I'll trust that guy. So we'll see what happens. By the way, the text says, when you said the Chiefs lost by jinxing the Chiefs, and said and the day we're celebrating his 8th birthday, too. So I can understand why he'd be crying. Why isn't he in school?
Yeah, that's – hey, let's question the parenting job here.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was just by extension when I made the Chiefs lose, the Chiefs loss made the kid cry, and now that – those tears are on my hands, metaphorically speaking.
Uh-huh.
And, that's something, you know, I'm going to have to – that's on me. I'm going to have to be better. I'm going to have to make sure that those mistakes don't happen again. And with that, time's yours.
Yeah. All right. 913-912-4810 is the text line. So that's how the show lines up. Let's get into the show here today. 913-912-4810. So this is the first time the Chiefs have played the Bucs since that Super Bowl embarrassment. And we know a lot about why that game ended up being as embarrassing as it was with the offensive line, with the defensive line for the Bucs, and not being able to score a touchdown, which was really surprising in that one. Just never really got back into that. And oh, by the way, we'll hear different clips from the Kelce and Kelce podcast, the New Heights podcast, which is really good. Love it. It comes out on Wednesday, so there's like four or five clips that I cut that were interesting for the show today. One of the clips I did not cut, they were talking about the Super Bowl halftime performances and yeah. Rihanna, and Travis Kelce started talking about the weekend performance when they were playing Tampa in the Super Bowl, and that he's like, we must have been like right underneath the stage because all we heard was this loud bass over and over. And he's like, we're frustrated. We're trying to get things together. We're not playing well. We're trying to figure this thing out. And all we're hearing is this loud bass over and over and over. And I hear that and I'm thinking, boy, how bad of a night really was it for the Chiefs? Like, they probably had one of the worst nights of their lives that night with how they played and then halftime adjustments. They can't even get stuff together.
Guys, we got to do something here. This offense is totally lost.
I don't know.
Guys, hello?
I can't imagine, like, you're like, enough! Like, I just want to concentrate. Everything's struggling. We can't get this going. We got multiple pass interference calls in the in that last drive. That's BS. They're screwing us. We are better than this team. Get it together. And all you're hearing is this music playing in the background while I'm guessing the Bucks are probably going, yeah, we got their ass. Yeah, we know what we're doing versus them. They're dancing.
Yes, that's absolutely what it is.
In their locker room at halftime.
The Buccaneers are, ooh. That's how Blinding Lights goes. I needed to look up the lyrics to jog my memory. Yeah. Tom Brady just vibing. You know what though? I listened to that
Can
episode.
Tom Brady dance?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Just right on your grave. This is the first episode of that show that I've listened to the entire way through of New Heights.
Me too.
Because the clips have been good. And look, man, I mean, there might be some hypocrisy in how he felt about the Tyreek Hill podcast, how he feel about the Kelce podcast. If you're wondering about the hypocrisy, here's the real key. Kelce podcast is good.
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
It's casual, but like you hear stuff from them that you're hearing out. You're hearing the way they talk. Like when they started talking about Tua and the concussion stuff,
yep.
They had a brief moment of like being very jovial and joking about it in the way that you would think happens in the locker room. And then they had stories about like their own concussion scares and how genuinely fearful you are in those moments, how tough it is for your family. Then they went and told a story about, did I jump in? I won't pay that one off. I saw that one's on the sheet here now. Okay. I won't go any further on the actual stories of it. But like the concussion part, that clip's 2.5 minutes. We're never going to get to that in today's show anyway.
All right, let's play that.
It's cute that you cut it. But like that was the example for me of just the no pun intended here, the whiplash back and forth between how they talk about things in the gallows humor to taking it seriously to all of the things that come from that. I don't know. Show's been fun though, and gives you a little bit of insight that you don't get to see from that exact perspective very often. Here's what you just said. Just crack this open for me though. The whole Eric Bieniemy halftime conspiracy theory from the I think we can derail these by reverse engineering the halftime shows from the Super Bowl. We have to go figure out what was, because there was some sort of halftime entertainment in the AFC Championship game against the Bengals. There had to be. The NFL's not doing conference championship games
was it Tech
without
Nine?
Some sort of event. So I'm gonna see
like
if we can.
Country singer?
Was that right. Was so, that Applebee's? That might have been the Applebee's guy.
Oh yeah, that would have pissed me off too.
Oh man. Okay, so I'm here's
and
my
when
theory.
You're Cincinnati, and you're Cincinnati when the best thing you have is Skyline, they probably go to Applebee's a lot.
Absolutely.
So they were loving it.
They are fancy like Applebee's.
That was their jam in Cincinnati, the Queen City. They are fancy like Applebee's, whereas, you know, Chiefs players are like, man.
Good pull, Beards. So it is Walker Hayes did the halftime performance at the AFC Championship game, and remember, it totally washed out the halftime show. We couldn't hear what anybody was talking about.
I remember that.
Because they were at the table, mic'd
up,
and all you could hear in the background was, sorry to keep going to this bit for the open today, but it was, It was like totally unlistenable.
I want to see if I can find the audio for that again.
Totally unlistenable. Unlike that song originally. I actually also do have it, Beards. Just Google any of those terms and their tweets with it all.
Applebee's.
I'll send you
that.
A direct tweet here because
first thing that comes up.
Yeah, just Google directions to the nearest Applebee's. I think we might be able to now realize how. The halftimes when the Chiefs cannot hear themselves think, maybe that's the cause of the halftime show. Walker Hayes was the culprit here.
Yeah.
Not the Bengals defense, not Patrick Mahomes, not Eric Bieniemy, not Andy Reid. Fancy-like.
Yep. And
checkmate.
You've got the Bengals players that it's speaking right to the heart of their city.
Fancy
and
like
Chiefs
Applebee's
players that
night.
Are frustrated going, man, we got... plenty of other things to talk about besides fancy like an Applebee's.
We are not fancy like an Applebee's at all right now.
No, that last play was not fancy like an Applebee's. That was not fancy at all.
I don't want to just totally tell anybody off. Someone, if you're listening right now, you're allowed to like this song.
Oh, that's fine, whatever.
But I need everyone to know that I need everyone to know that I hate it as much as I've ever hated a song, I think.
It's a catchy tune.
It is catchy. I remember the hook of it.
I understand why people would sing along to
it. It's absolutely. The lyric, she wanna dip me like I'm them fries in her Frosty, makes me wanna barf.
So
not the Frosties in the fries, Walker Hayes in the Frosty.
I'm not saying this is Walker Hayes or that song. I'm not saying that at all, okay? But at the Super Bowl, we talked with Kix Brooks from Brooks and Dunn. And I don't even remember their main big song that... that everybody would probably know Brooks and Dunn.
I was just really glad when you talked to him because I did not have any Brooks and Dunn knowledge to work off of.
I had some.
You had a little more than
and
I did.
And when I looked it up, I'm like, oh, I know that song. I know that song. Okay, I know that song.
Neon Moon, Believe.
No.
That Ain't No Way to Go.
No, like they're...
My Maria.
No, they're biggest...
Boot, Scoot, and Boogie. There you go.
There you go. Boot, Scoot, and Boogie.
I was just reading music video titles.
Boot, Scoot, and Boogie.
There you go.
And somehow we got... like, we were talking sports. He was incredibly entertaining, by the way. Like, I really enjoyed the... I wasn't looking forward to it. And then when we started, I'm like, oh, this guy's fun. This is great. And he said about Boot, Scoot, and Boogie, and I'm not saying this is about Walker Harris or whatever his name is. He said...
I'm not going to correct that one. I want to get his name wrong forever.
Yeah. Kix Brooks said that when he went to his manager and played the song, his manager said, you finally made a song bad enough to be a hit. And it was like... And he joked about it, and he was like... "It's so." He's like, that's not even a song we really want. It's like we have so many other songs we like, but that's the song. That's the song everybody knows. And it just reminded me of the, you don't like the Applebee's, but it's the hook that everybody remembers. And it just reminded me of Kix Brooks saying, you finally wrote a song that's so bad that people will like.
It's really good.
You finally wrote a song so bad it's a hit.
That's a really good line.
It's perfect, man. And again, Kix Brooks was really entertaining in that conversation.
There's no Solomon Wilcots, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Thank God.
Kix Brooks was able to admit some faults. He was able to admit when there were some shortcomings.
Sure.
Even his own huge hit was able to say, yeah, not really our best work, but you know what? Got us on the map. Therefore, we can do some other things and some other songs that we really liked playing and writing and messages and things like that. Whereas Solomon Wilcots is like, nobody could ever beat the Bengals. They'll never lose again. It's the greatest team ever constructed. And anybody that says anything different, then you are stupid and there's no such thing as an upset. Every team that wins is the better team and deserve to win that particular game. There is no set, even 16-1. Even Virginia losing. Not an upset. That one's true. Even St. Peter's over Kentucky. Not an upset. St. Peter's better than Kentucky. Everybody knows this. What was that audio like there, Beards?
At halftime report, the official 5G network of the NFL for Rise. I'm James Brown.
As we welcome Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Walker Hayes.
Oh, Walker Hayes, not Walker Harris. Built,
and he's burning them.
The question is, and the answer is time. That's what Patrick Mahomes...
And that was like 15 minutes. Let's go!
Yeah, we got the whole song. It was like being inside the speaker.
But it is interesting to hear that at the Super Bowl, that's what the Chiefs were experiencing in their locker room trying to make their adjustments at halftime.
So. Really, genuinely interesting. At least it was the weekend and not that, because if like if I was doing a sports center or something on this show, and you were just blasting, if Beard's just blasting fancy like behind me, not only do I think I would not be able to get through the sports center, and I'd probably say the Royals are playing on a day that they're not, I would probably go fight Beards with my bare hands. Like, I don't think I could.
Good for you.
I don't think I could stand for that. Yeah, I think I would have a meltdown.
Do what you got to do.
Like
man.
The Chiefs did in the Super Bowl and in the AFC Championship game and in several high profile games recently and last week. Now I'm sad again.
Okay.
Sorry to that guy's 7-year-old.
Eliminating halftime performances.
Now they're even more sad because you forgot what age they are.
And now they're celebrating the birthday of this 8-year-old kid.
Happy birthday, kid.
I think most everybody during that halftime show was. I love the tweets of like, I've never been more excited for the weekend to be over than right now. I just want the weekend to be done. Oh, my goodness. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Shaq Barrett had some thoughts on the Chiefs offensive line. Patrick Mahomes was asked about that, and he gave his response, which I think the length of the response from Patrick Mahomes is probably more telling than the actual words. So we'll hear from that. And then a number of clips from the Kelsey New Heights podcast, which was really good. He weighed in on what he called embarrassing, the loss to the Colts. He weighed in on his issues and why they lost and his responsibility he's taking with that. He talked about Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy. And then he talked about the concussions, the Titans game, the Texans game that he's gone through in his life. And I cut and really enjoyed just their talk about Batman. And I almost want to grab Shane and bring him in here when we play the Batman clip of Jason Kelsey and Travis Kelsey just for S's and G's. We'll take a timeout. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
This is a guy through the first three quarters of the game had a quarterback rating of... Well, now I lost that.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, hanging out here on this Thursday edition of The Zone, Sports Radio 810 WHB, Jason Anderson with you, Josh Briscoe, Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock. Kent Swanson coming up at 11 o'clock.
For the second consecutive day, I've seen that you texted me at about 9:45 asking for topic ideas, and I didn't see that until literally just now.
It's not a big deal. I'll just do the show by myself from now on.
That's sort of how I've been operating to this point. I feel like it's been going well.
Why put our heads together and think of different things and different topics things like that that people want to talk about?
You gave me a full 14 minutes, and I really squandered that, so I apologize.
I just sort of assume that you've got a number of things and
absolutely.
Then we come together and say, okay, this is what I'm thinking, this is what you're thinking, boom, let's not talk about it off the air because why would we do that? Let's be organic on the air and discuss those things just as when I was talking about the plays that I saw that the Chiefs were open except for the offensive line, you then offer, yeah, I got a little curveball to
here's
that.
A little curveball.
Great. I don't want to know what it is.
No, exactly.
Let's talk about it on the air.
Let's save
so,
it. For,
awesome.
No, we're pretty good at organic and sort of merging our angles together and everything. I just would like to get into the habit of responding to your texts.
Don't worry about
earlier.
It. You know what?
And
turnabout's fair play. People talk about
that's a good point.
Slow response.
You're
with
now
texting.
Up. You're now up 25-2, but that's 2 days in a row for me.
That's exactly
I blew
right,
the shutout these last 2 days.
Yeah,
so,
I'm like when Matt Derrick was having the battle against what was his name, Gorman.
Yes, Vitaly Gorman.
Vitaly Gorman is who's going to show up first. Now it's 25-2. I'm leading by 23 in not responding in a prompt enough manner.
Absolutely.
To said text.
You're the Vitaly Gorman of not responding to text, and I'm just
badass.
Trying to be the Matt Derrick.
Badass. Love it. All right, so Shaq Barrett was asked yesterday as the last time these two teams faced off was in the Super Bowl, and it was not a good day for the Chiefs offensive line. It was a great day for the Bucs defense and defensive line. So the question is included in this with Shaq Barrett talking about this Chiefs offensive line.
How different is this Chiefs offensive line from the one you guys faced in the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
I really don't think it's too much of a difference. I think we have a lot of favorable matchups. I think we have an opportunity to really dominate the game as long as I just think, we got an opportunity to really impose our will as pass rushers, as rushers this game, and we could really have a coming out party. I know we had 6 sacks the other game, but we could really have a coming out party as edge defenders in the position group for this game.
when he was laughing, it kind of sounded like he was wanted to be like, yeah, let me tell you about what we think is going to happen in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, this offensive line, yeah. You saw what the Colts did. We are about to eat. This is going to be Eagles v. Commanders. I'm talking about 9 sacks coming out party for this defense. So that took place before the Chiefs had their press conference. So Patrick Mahomes was able to respond, and I believe the question is included with this one as well, with Patrick Mahomes and Shaq Barrett. If it is not included, Patrick Mahomes, it isn't. This is like a 6-second clip, so it's not included. He was just asked, hey, here's what Shaq Barrett said. He said the offensive line doesn't look much different than the one in the Super Bowl, and he thinks their defensive line is going to have a coming out party against your offense and offensive line. What do you got to say to that, Patrick?
Yeah, man, I trust those 5 guys that we have out there. I feel like we have one of the best offensive lines in the league, and we'll go in there with that mindset.
6 seconds.
Not edited. That's what it sounded like
last. 6 seconds. That was it. He doesn't typically answer things that are only 6 or 7 seconds. He spends a little bit of time. He tries to be, I think, thoughtful while being robotic and a quarterback and, you know, quarterbacking it, the answers. You know, like, not necessarily like when you would call it like, hey, you know, you're filtering things. He's quarterbacking. Mm-hmm. He's quarterbacking the answers. He does that a lot. But he's still, like, talking about Eric Bieniemy. It was like a minute and 20 seconds. You know, right. Talking about other parts of the game. And this Chiefs team's like 40, 45 seconds, a minute. This was 6 seconds. I think we learned everything that we want to know about the way the Chiefs are thinking about that comment from Shaq Barrett and their offensive line and responding to the Colts and getting ready for the Bucs. In the fact that was a 6-second clip.
The one thing I would add is that I believe that Shaq Barrett quote started getting tweeted out like moments before like Andy Reid's presser began. So I bet Mahomes had not that I think that might have been legitimately the first time he was hearing of it and didn't have all of the full context and all that. With that being said, I expected, as I heard the question being asked, I expected a longer answer about the Chiefs' offensive line or whatever it was, you know, the trust and expanding on all that. The other element of it is I don't know how much he does really trust those 5 guys in front of him right now. Like, the current, when I read the clip yesterday, that was the first time I heard the audio from Shaq Barrett. When I read it when we were live yesterday, I was my first thought was, well, they totally overhauled this offensive line. Like, literally every position is different than in the Super Bowl. Andrew Wiley's just back over on the right side again.
Yeah.
Totally different. It is what's the ship if you replace all of the planks in one ship? Is it still the same ship? I don't remember what that is.
Ship of Theseus, I think.
Thank you. That is absolutely what it is. Was that in Watchmen or something? I'm trying to figure out where that was in pop culture.
In WandaVision.
That's right. It was in WandaVision.
It's not that you read it or learned it in school. It's from watching WandaVision.
No, I heard it mentioned recently. No. I knew there was a pop culture touch point for it.
It's brilliant. That is brilliant.
The Chiefs' offensive line is sort of the ship of Theseus. If you're Shaq Barrett, he believes that it is still the same ship. And I'm saying the only plank that was there in the Super Bowl is now the right tackle plank, being Andrew Wiley.
Wasn't he on the right side though in the Super Bowl, and it was Rimmers on the left side?
Oh, hold on. So you're right. One plank's in the same spot.
But 4 of the 5 are completely different.
I was thinking they moved Wiley to left and kept Rimmers right. I think you're right. They moved Wiley from guard.
Because Rimmers was right tackle and Fisher was left tackle.
Because I had to spend the next year saying, hey, I actually think Mike Rimmers is a pretty good right tackle. He was just out of position in the Super Bowl. You're 100% right.
Yeah.
So one plank is still there in Theseus's ship. But here's the thing. If you watch the offensive line against the Colts and you wiped all the numbers, you know, everybody was just a black and white, like in a practice jersey. You would start to have some similar questions about like, hey, so they did fix this offensive line at some point, right? No, I think that is largely for Trey Smith, largely injury. For Orlando Brown, I think he's got high expectations that he has underperformed in some instances. I also think he's hurt. I think his worst clip, he got out of his stance really quick and stepped on Noah Gray's foot last week. That, unfortunately, is the low light of his Chiefs career.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure it's his fault if Noah Gray gets out of his stance a little quicker. All that to say, on paper, this offensive line's tremendously different. In practice, I am more worried about it than I have been since the Super Bowl. This is the most worried I've been about the Chiefs' offensive line in a game, you know, not in an offseason, but in a game since the Super Bowl. That part, I think, is at least a little more fair than I was going to give Shaq Barrett credit for.
And in the game, we'll take a break on one here, some Kelsey clips as well. in that game, it wasn't just a, okay, this guy one-on-one won the battle because, you know, whether it was Trey Smith or Tooney or Orlando Brown or Andrew Wiley or Creed Humphrey, that, hey, they just whooped that guy. I think there were a number of times that the Chiefs got confused with whether it was stunts or somebody getting a corner or getting the hip and the shoulder just a little bit past in being able to turn that and not being able to recover, because there were a couple plays where Mahomes was pressured that it was a stunt and somebody came free. So it wasn't exactly like it was straight up the middle, and but it was pretty quick. There were some where the guys just got beat, just simply went past them. But one in my mind that sticks out is watching it from the end zone view. It was Jerick McKinnon and Andrew Wiley, and Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey had their guys. Andrew Wiley had his guys. So it's from the end zone view behind Patrick Mahomes, and they blitz a linebacker, and the linebacker is going towards Jerick McKinnon, but he veers off and just chucks Wiley. That was his job. His job is, you're just taking Andrew Wiley
wrecking
out.
Ball for Andrew Wiley.
And the defensive end's coming around, but Jerick McKinnon's already moving to his right to take on the linebacker. So by the time the defensive end gets around, Jerick McKinnon is not in a position to block a defensive end. So he tries to get over there, and he's hitting the defensive end side. You're not recovering from that. And it turns out to be a Mahomes turning around, reversing, doing one of those things. Great scheme.
When
great
guys
design.
When they say great scheme, that's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we really, this is a trenches problem, this is a media problem, whatever. Mm-hmm. We try, but it's hard to point to, here's where a defensive line, offensive line scheme matters.
Yeah.
Usually just think, names you know, big guys, one-on-one. It is more complicated than that. That is a great example of what a scheme and a play call can do for a pass rush.
Thought it was odd. The guy just ran and just took out Wiley. Just crushed him. And I'm like, it worked.
Yep.
It absolutely worked. Because if he runs straight in, McKinnon's really good at pass protection. And McKinnon, I think, can hold him up because he's done that before. And maybe that's what they looked at and said, well, we're not going one-on-one against Jerick McKinnon. He's been good in pass protection. But what if we take out the right tackle and the defensive end maybe gets an edge on him? There's no chance he's going to recover from that. Great scheme. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling more zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
You might not be able to tell by the quality of the radio show, but I'm great.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, let's hear from Travis Kelce. Let's play the clip where lost to the Colts. I know it says a different team there. I labeled it wrong there, Beards. But Travis Kelce, the loss to the Colts, and his brother Jason asked him about that and them losing 20-17 to that team on Sunday.
The Kelces are no longer undefeated, thanks to Travis and the Chiefs losing their first game to the Colts, 17-20. Yeah, I had a feeling you might say that. First loss of the season. Travis, what is your analysis of the game and yourself?
I mean, it's just an embarrassing performance. On my end, I know I had at least four opportunities to come up big for my team just by catching the ball, let alone the effort plays and things that come along with just being a great teammate. I just got to catch the freaking ball, man. It's a great ball by Pat.
Why do you think you dropped it?
Lack of focus. That's the biggest thing. Trying to think of multiple things at once. And there's no excuse at all to why I dropped the ball. I dropped the ball because, well, my meaning to that is that I'm not going to say the sun. I'm not going to say, I don't care if the sun was right in my eye. I have to find a way to catch the ball. There's no excuse when it comes to that. My focus was just, I had moved on from trying to catch the ball to making sure that my feet were down. And I just got to be able to lock in mentally and differentiate the two. You know what I mean? Catch the ball first, then work.
Which is interesting. I hadn't thought about that aspect of it until he said it, and then I went back and watched, and they showed the replay in the game. That's the full game. They showed the replay a number of different times, and as the ball is getting close to his hand, you can actually see his head start to move to the ground, and it makes total sense when he said, "I was already moving on to see where my feet were going to be in the end zone, and didn't catch it." Because I didn't catch that at the time. Right. You know, you're like, wow, he just missed the ball and he's mad at himself. And then he almost does like a gesture of like holding his hands, like, you know, catch the ball first. Might have just been catch the freaking ball, but his head starts to move towards the end zone and or towards the back line of the end zone and looking down right as the ball is getting there. So makes sense. Concentration, first things first. Take care of that. Hopefully that's the case against the Bucks. Ken Swanson next.